Welcome to a podcast of Beyond the Book, a presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center is the world's largest provider of copyright compliance solutions through a wide range of innovative licensing services and comprehensive educational programs for authors, publishers, and their audiences in academia, business, and research institutions. For more information about Beyond the Book and Copyright Clearance Center, please go to www.beyondthebook.com.
Good afternoon, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question at that time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Chris Keneally. Sir, you may begin.
Well, thank you, operator, and welcome everyone for another in our continuing series of programs that we call Beyond the Book. Beyond the Book is sponsored by Copyright Clearance Center. My name is Christopher Keneally. I'm the Director of Author Relations for Copyright Clearance Center, and very happy to be your host today for a program that's going to take a look at an interesting aspect of one of the most important online companies today. That, of course, is Google. And for publishers and authors, a very important program they offer is Google Book Search. We call the program Opportunities for Publishers and Authors in the Online Channel, which is a mouthful, but I think after you've had a chance to hear from Google's Chris Palmer about how the program works, you'll be persuaded as well that this really does present a very important opportunity for you to increase exposure and increase revenue. It's all part of a digital strategy, a continuum of strategies, I should say. We also will be welcoming to the program Lars Riley from Seven Stories, which is a very successful and well-respected independent publisher, which participates in Google Book Search, and he's going to tell us a bit about his experiences. First of all, a couple of rules of the road here. The program we will keep to an hour. We respect everybody's schedules, and we know how busy you all are. We'll spend about 20 minutes chatting with Chris. We'll have Lars on for about 10 minutes to tell his part of the story, and we're going to leave as much time as we can for your questions. We do urge you to do as the operator said and press star 1 on your phone to raise your hand. You could also email your question to me. I've got my email open up here, and that email address is beyondthebook@copyright.com. Beyond the Book, all one word, at copyright, copyright.com. Now I'm going to introduce to you Chris Palmer. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Chris is a strategic partner development manager for Google Book Search, and what this means is he's developing partnerships with book publishers and authors of all types in the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and Singapore. So not surprisingly for a company like Google and the World Wide Web, this is a global effort. Chris understands where we're all coming from because, in fact, he's lived where we live today. He spent 15 years in scholarly publishing, working with Yale University Press and Harvard University Press. He has also worked in the tech space with a startup called Content Guard, and then as well with eBrary, which many of you may be familiar with. It's a leading provider of e-books to institutional libraries. He was vice president of content and business development. He's also worked as a member of the American Association of Publishers e-book steering committee and has been a speaker at many events for the industry, including PSP and AAUP annual meetings. Chris, I think we should get started right away. Google is a household word, and I don't think there's anybody online right now with us who doesn't need to be told about the sort of public front of Google. But why don't you just give us a very quick overview of the Google business right now?
Sure, love to. I'd like to start by giving sort of a 30,000 foot view of Google, and then we can drill down into Google Book Search and our what we call our content businesses to try to give people a sense of where content itself, and not just books, but also scholarly journals, maps, photographs, all kinds of content is pouring into Google as we speak, and that's not part of our core business. So Google today, as a search engine, our core business, we're basically 16,000 people worldwide in 40 different offices. We're one of the fastest growing companies in the world, as you might guess. Google is currently, available in 112 different languages worldwide, and basically our audience for search is basically the 1 billion plus people that are online every day. And of those people across the board throughout the world, 65% of them use Google and Google products every day. So we're a key part of people's everyday experience on the web. 65% is the sort of across-the-board number that we use. In the United States, it hovers somewhere between 47% of the search market and 50% of the search market. In other countries like China, for instance, we're a distant second, representing only about 20% of the search market in China. But across the board, looking at those 1 billion people, we're 65% of the search market. And for those who don't have a sense of what marketplace we're in, we are not a content creator by any stretch of the imagination. We are a technology company, and we monetize our technology, our search technology, through advertising. So we are firmly ensconced in the $290 billion advertising business in the United States alone, which is undergoing a monumental shift right now from traditional media to the web, and we're firmly ensconced in that transition.
So just to underscore that, because with a company as prominent as Google, there's a lot of confusion out there, and your point is that you're not in the content creator marketplace, you're in the advertising marketplace, and it's something that authors and publishers should find important for them, because they have their work and you have yours. But you are attracting an audience with the variety of, as you say, IT solutions that you provide in search that you then leverage to attract the advertising.
Correct. We like to think of ourselves as a giant switchboard. So we have users of the web who need to find valuable information, and we have advertisers that also want to reach those same eyeballs. So in the process of pointing people to rich sources of information, we monetize that activity through advertising. But we ourselves don't create the content. They're created by publishers of all stripes, bloggers, website hosting folks as well. Our mission, and we're firmly fixed on this mission statement, and have been since Google was three people working out of a garage in Menlo Park, California. But basically, our mission is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. And I would point out that universally accessible does not mean free. It simply means we can surface information of all types.
Right, and before we get into the way that you're surfacing information through Google Book Search, I think, again, it's important to help people understand what Google Book Search is not. And just to underscore this, we've been conducting a survey of people who are coming into this program and others in Beyond the Book. And if you haven't already participated in that survey, we do invite you to do so. But there is confusion that we can see in the survey, whether or not people feel they're participating in Google Book Search or Google Library. People don't get the name straight, and perhaps you can clear that up for us. What Google Book Search is not, first?
Sure. Well, Google Book Search is an index of book-length content, some of which is in the public domain, some of which is in copyright but not in print, and others are in print and in copyright. So right now, Google Book Search represents well over a million titles from over 10,000 publishers, but it also represents a whole lot of content that we scan and index from library partners around the world. So we have 20 or so library partners, including the likes of Harvard, University of Michigan, and many other very, very high-level institutional libraries and public institutions as well. So the library program surfaces titles in different ways based on this copyright status of the book. So let's say that we take in a book from University of Michigan Library and it's in the public domain. The user will have complete access to every page of that book and can even download it. If the book that we scan from that library is in copyright, we'll only point to the book. We'll fully index it so people can find it based on perhaps something that was on, you know, page 165. But when they land on the book itself, they'll be given metadata on that book and a couple of snippets, a couple of lines to show that that search term is included in that book. But in fact, the preview experience is well shy of even a fair use experience. So that's the library program. That's not really the area that I work with at all and work in. I'm firmly in the camp of the partner program,
right,
which is the program through which we contract with publishers and authors.
Right, and that's the program we're talking about today, where it's the opt-in program where people provide, you know, the copyright holders provide you with their content because they want it to be found.
Correct.
Let's talk about how that all happens and how people can participate and the kind of control that they have over that content. Because, again, I think there's a concern with the Internet at large that content creators have, which is if I put it out there, I somehow lose control of it. Working with Google and Book Search, you have many options with how you can control it. But first, how do they get the work to you if they decide to participate?
Once they're in the program, there are several ways they can get the books to us. The simplest way, of course, is to ship us a print version, a physical version of the book, which we would take into our scanning facilities, which are Google-owned and Google-run. And we would fully scan and OCR the pages of those books and apply metadata to those books and get those in the program that way. The publisher can also submit through a partner center, an extranet site through which they'll have an account, a password-protected account. They can actually upload the PDFs. And through that same partner account, they would control access to any books at the ISBN level. So the baseline for preview of those books is 20%, but many publishers are actually showing quite a bit more than 20% because what we're offering is the equivalent of a browse experience, and the more people browse, the more people will purchase the book or have the proclivity anyway to purchase the book. But at all times in the Google Book Search preview screen, the user never has the ability to print or copy or paste or anything other than get a low-resolution preview experience of a portion of the book online.
Right. So it's similar to the experience many of us have with PDFs that are under similar kind of locks, if you will, where you can't print it and can't copy it and that sort of thing.
Correct. Only it would be online only, and it would probably be a lower resolution than
even that.
Yeah.
Okay. You can control the amount of content that is seen online. You can also control where it's seen online.
That's right. So let's say that you have purchased a book, purchased North American rights from a British publisher. That book can go into Google Book Search under your imprint, but you can restrict the preview experience and the search experience to North American users of Google only. In other words, someone searching for something in that book will find that book in search results only in North America. So if they were searching Google UK, the book would not even appear. So you can control, actually, the territorial rights experience within Google Book Search, again, through the partner program, through the partner center.
And how much does it cost for a publisher to participate? Because I'll tell you, honestly, here at Copyright Clearance Center, we work with publishers large and small, major and independent houses, and we have heard from people who tell us that someone has called them up and wants to get their books into Google Book Search, and they'll charge them only a small fee for this.
Carpetbaggers, basically. The Google Book Search program is free. Basically, it fulfills our mission to bring the world's information and surface them in our search engine with the intent that the higher value our search experience is, the more users we'll have worldwide, and the more eyeballs will be pointed to our advertisers' ads, and that's kind of how we monetize that activity. But the actual program itself is free and always will be free.
And with that free participation, though, there are a number of services that Google provides to help the publisher or the author, for that matter, understand how the program's working for them. Talk about that, please.
Sure. So the main value of the program today for publishers is the intense marketing value, the idea that, you know, you can reach potential buyers of your book, you know, in over 80 domains today, right, in almost any language under the sun. And we always list either the publisher's site or a number of retailers, depending on the region of the world we're in. And the idea is that after a preview experience, a person is likely to click through to buy the book. So what we want to share with publishers is the traffic data based on just raw pages viewed on an ISBN level, month by month, even week by week. You'll be able to see, you know, how many pages have been viewed, how many unique book views you've had, and how many buy the book clicks you've had based on those views. So just to throw out a number, the overall percentage of click-throughs through the buy the book link based on books viewed is 2%, which is actually quite a bit higher than direct mail, and in fact it's traffic you're not paying to generate to begin with.
Right, and a point worth stressing is that in that buy the book area, the publisher or the copyright holder will always be the first listed. So if the company or the individual has a website and is selling the book or books on that website, that will always be the first option the user has.
Absolutely, and it's completely up to the publisher whether they want to link people through. Some small publishers don't want to try to fulfill, you know, a web order or fulfill that kind of traffic, so they're happy to have Amazon pick it up. But if in fact you do sell and you have a unique web page for any particular ISBN, you're always the first link, and we click directly through from the preview experience to your product page.
And how much is Google making off of that buy the book?
Yeah. Again, there's no referral fee for any of these links. Basically, if someone clicks through to the website of the publisher or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or the online retailer, we enjoy no referral fees for that activity. Basically, our intent here is to drive a user to the best place where they would have the highest chance of actually being able to buy the book.
Now, are there as well any categories? I mean, it's still a relatively, on the one hand, it's not so new. I think it was announced to the world in 2004. Do I have that right?
That's right, fall of 2004.
Fall of 2004, so we're now more than 3 years into the program. You said you have a million titles plus and about 10,000 publishers and authors involved. But are you able at this point to tell which category of works are enjoying better success than others?
Well, I mean, one of the unfortunate things is that while we can track the buy-the-book clicks themselves, both to the publisher's sites and to places like Amazon, the one piece of data we cannot get is the conversion data, right? So we don't know necessarily if that click-through presented the opportunity for a sale, but we do know anecdotally from publishers like Springer and Elsevier and some of the larger publishers who have done studies that the qualified traffic coming from book search converts at an astronomically high rate compared to traffic that just happens upon the website. Having said that, some of the categories that are particularly successful are, not surprisingly, computer science, scientific, technical, medical, some of the academic and scholarly areas, et cetera. But we've seen, increases, massive increases in traffic over the last 4 years from pretty much all categories. I would say if there's one category that full-text search doesn't necessarily advantage, it's probably fiction.
Right, but for the web, in any case, people are searching. I mean, if they're looking for fiction, I would imagine they already know the book they want or the author they're after, and they're going to go to a retailer for that. I mean, web is still about research. Search is just another way of saying research, I think, and that obviously leads you to the nonfiction side of the house.
Exactly, and I think Lars may be able to underscore some of the specifics here, but most publishers see on a month-to-month basis, well over 90% of the books they have in the program are looked at least once, and that includes publishers like Taylor & Francis, who have over 20,000 titles. Every single month, every single book is discovered by someone somewhere.
Wow.
Or close to it.
That's really operating a very powerful little bookstore there. I think there is obviously a real sort of opportunity for Lars to jump in here. I don't want to do that just yet, though, because I want to ask the question that still remains on people's minds. So it's free to get the work into the program. Google doesn't make any money and doesn't charge you if you actually do make a sale of the book. So what are you people up to exactly?
In other words, what's the catch?
Right.
Which I'm asked very, very frequently. So, circling back to the core of Google's business, which is to monetize search through advertising, the key to that, to being successful in that market, is obviously to create a very, very large audience, a diversified audience, an international audience. And at the same time, search as a technology does not have very high barriers to entry, right? There are probably a dozen search engines out there in the world. The most prominent behind us, nipping at our heels, are places like Yahoo and Microsoft, right? So in order to maintain our market position, we need to find a way to bring the highest quality content into the search experience. And the highest quality content isn't necessarily web pages, right? So it's offline content that goes through an editorial process that's vetted. In short, it's book content. So we know if we can bring book content into, and there are about 8 million titles in print worldwide by many estimates, and our intention is to index every one of them. If we can succeed in that, we only bring a higher quality to the search service, and we know we'll maintain our position in the market.
And as you say that, it strikes me as interesting and in a way reassuring. I've committed the sin of authoring myself, been part of publishing for many years, as have you. And, lots of us in this business worry about the future of books, the future of publishing. And what we're talking about here is a kind of reinforcement of the message that books have a very high value. We think of the web as the place where all the activities going on, all the excitement is going on. But what you just said is that's true, but it's not about web pages that you really are interested in here in Google Book Search. It's that content that's being created offline still.
That's right. In fact, the growth of the web only underscores the importance of editorially driven content, right? So people say, well, once information moves over to the web and becomes free, where's the role of the publisher? Well, that's an even more important role now, because with blogs and wikis and the ease of putting up web pages themselves, there are literally millions of new web pages coming online every day. in that morass of information, people need to make decisions about what quality means. And to have an to have a book under imprint with any, you know, viable and decent publisher is a sign, signal of quality.
Right. And why don't we then bring in a publisher who has been recognized for the quality of their works? And I want to thank you, first of all, Chris, for helping us understand better Google Book Search. Please stay there, as I'm sure there are going to be some questions. Remind the audience that you are with us today for a special program in the Beyond the Book series from Copyright Clearance Center. My name is Chris Keneally. We're very happy to have you here. We will have an opportunity for your questions in just a few moments. If you would like to email your question to us, you can do so at beyondthebook at copyright, copyright.com. Joining me now is Lars Riley. Welcome, Lars.
Hi.
Hi, Lars. You are the business manager, systems manager, and editor at Seven Stories Press.
An editor, yes.
An editor, right. There are others. But Seven Stories is earning a very enviable reputation as a very important voice in independent publishing. You publish books on progressive politics as well as poetry and fiction. You've been honored with National Book Awards, been honored by Publishers Weekly as one of the fastest growing independent publishers. I'm looking at some of this here. You have on your list Noam Chomsky, Kurt Vonnegut, many names that are quite recognizable in the progressive political world, and therefore a lot of work that's controversial and of great interest to people. And you began participating in Google Book Search a couple of years ago in 2005, and I suppose we could start by asking, what were your expectations at Seven Stories when you decided to participate in Google Book Search?
I think our expectations were wide open. I think our philosophically we wanted to be involved in the process as early as possible because we didn't want to be playing catch up, and I think we've all recognized and had past experience with e-books and things like that, with just that the earlier you have a foot in the door of what's going to happen next, the better chance you have of having some control over it and understanding it. We wanted to see what it was. That was our expectation, is that something would happen.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained,
exactly.
And since it is free, and can you confirm that Chris isn't pulling our leg?
They pay us. Not a lot, but we're a smaller company, but we get a share of the ad revenue.
Well, that's right. That's something else that a book partner with Google Book Search can do. But let's just stick right now to the Google Book Search piece of it. So you decided to put your full catalog in. At this stage of the game, are all books published by Seven Stories automatically part of the program?
Almost all of them. There are some exceptions to do with format and things. We have a couple of books. We have a book of photography that we've uploaded, but I don't know what's going to happen with it because it's not a strange format. But in general, yes, and basically everything that we had in print, we shipped, and initially by sending the books to be, you know, despined and scanned, and now we upload them.
And so it's become just part of the workflow, if you will, when you're publishing a work.
Yeah, I think I finally literally integrated it into the production and pre-press process. So as soon as when the PDFs are ready to go to our printers, they also go and get uploaded, hopefully. And if not, we play catch up and upload them, you know, in chunks. But that's the goal, is to do it with every book as it goes to the printer.
Right, that seems to make sense. And what about the results so far? How have things worked out for you? And can you point to any specific examples where you've really seen the presence through Book Search online of a content resulting in some sales?
I'd say that we're, you know, I'd preface this by saying we're a trade publisher. We're not a science publisher. We're not a, you know, we do have a lot of course adoptions, but it's not in reference heavy fields. So we haven't seen the results that a science textbook publisher or a medical textbook or any of those things, any of those companies would see. But it's simply not. We didn't expect to see them. That having been said, I have fairly consistent record going back when we started the program in early March of 05 of, some of our books, especially books that are deep backlist, really sort of living for to the extent that they live and sell, and it looks to me like mostly because of this program and similar things, similar programs. The one book we have is called Dark Alliance, and it was written by a journalist, and it's about the history of crack cocaine in coming into America and how it might have been channeled in certain cases by the CIA, and this is what he's written, of course. And it's always been a popular book. And I'd say I don't even know how many times we've reprinted it, but we get a huge amount of traffic, clicks through on that book, because it's a book that sort of has these topics that are passed around on the internet that people talk about, that really somehow has its own life now because of that. And so we consistently sell it, and I would say that we do direct sales from our own website. It's very important part of all of our direct sales, very important part of our business. And so anything we can do to increase those sales without much effort is something we're going to pursue.
And a book like that and many others that you publish are not typically available in bookstores. So this is making it available when it's not otherwise, and at a cost to you that's approaching zero, really.
Approaching zero, yeah.
Right. And what about the reporting that Google does to you as part of the program that Chris referred to? Has that been helpful in thinking about what books you need to go back to the printer for and all that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say that I'm able to make recommendations to our publisher, Dan Simon, and our production department much quicker on books like, I mean, we're going back to print on Dark Alliance, and if our distributor doesn't have the sales to back that up, I can then go into things like this and say, look, we've sold direct this many books, this is how many hits we get from the, how many click-throughs are on the Google reports and things like that. So it I've actually used very recently the report to make this case.
Well, that's great, and I appreciate your joining us, Lars. I know that you may have a meeting you have to go into, but if you can stick around for a little while, and if there's a question that's asked from the audience, and if you have some insight into based on your personal experience, be delighted to hear from you on that. And Operator Corey, are you there?
Yes.
Can you remind us again how people can ask a question?
To ask a question, please press star 1.
So we'll see if we get some questions there. We do have some people writing us questions. We have something here from a publications manager in Virginia. Chris, so I'm just going to read this to you live here. It says, when you hyperlink from preview to publisher's website, did I understand you to say that each title must have its own page? So I guess what that person is asking is, would the link have to go to a page on the website for the individual book, or could it go to a broader catalog page listing many books? Does it matter?
Well, in terms of the individual book linking to a product page, we want to ensure that the user can actually place the book into a shopping cart and make a purchase, right? So they can actually get hold of the book itself. If the website does not have a specific product page per book, there is a place that's further down on the right side of the right frame where the buy the book links are, that links directly to the homepage of the publisher.
Okay.
So that's kind of a fallback.
Okay. I hope that answers that question. We have another question here from a professional publisher asking about this 20% preview and how all of that works for professional publishers and whether 20% sounds like a lot to this questioner. Lars, how do you feel about it at this point, allowing people to see that 20% of a work? Has that been successful? Does it bother you? Does it bother any authors? Just talk about that for a second.
As I mentioned previously, it bothered one author who couldn't bridge the gap between what 20% represented and sort of what it looked like. Because he wasn't thumbing through a book, he was, you know, you kind of scan through the pages. But other than that, everyone seems comfortable with it. I am comfortable with it. I would even, you know, debate going a little higher. We set on the minimum as a baseline because that way we didn't have to go and secure individual permission from each, you know, author beyond the fact that they were willing to participate.
And Chris, what about that? When you tell people that that's the minimum preview that they need to allow to participate, are there concerns, and in what way do you respond to those?
Yeah, there are always concerns because this is the web; it's brand new to people. I point out that this is analogous to somebody thumbing through a book in a bookstore, and to limit an experience of someone browsing in a bookstore is not going to win you too many customers. That said, we also build in some added messaging, right? That really points to the fact that this is a browse experience and not a read experience. So there are among those 20% pages that someone will land on, there are pages that are blacked out. They're blacklisted books, and the user will just simply see a blank page saying this is intentionally left blank. And that 20% is not a per session, so the user can't come back, close their browser, and see another 20%. That's the 20% that they can get at. So if you've got a 300-page book, that's not a great reading experience, and I'm not sure if someone happened to get lucky enough to land on the pages they wanted, I'm not sure that you would lose a sale if they got enough.
Right. Well, in fact, to that point, I'm looking at an email here from someone who identifies themselves as a publisher of professional reference books in social sciences and law, and what he says here is that I don't upload my books in their entirety. Instead, I upload detailed tables of contents, indices, and a sample chapter, altogether typically about 40 to 60 pages. And he says that while we're still a needle in a haystack, Google Book Search has acted as a magnet. So when we think about 20%, I mean, that 20% can include things like content, indexes, the kinds of things that are valuable in search, but that don't necessarily mean the end of the story.
That's right.
Okay. And this particular email seems like someone very, very happy with the way Google Book Search has worked for them. Operator, do we have anybody asking questions?
One moment. At this time, we show no questions. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one. One moment.
Well, we know sometimes it's hard to be the first one to raise your hand, but we do urge you to do that. We have Chris Palmer on the line here from Google. He's the strategic partner and development manager for Google Book Search. With us as well is Lars Riley from Seven Stories, an independent publisher who is working with Google Book Search. And really, I think the point that is coming home to me again is not only does the book remain a very valuable deliverer of information, even in this online world, but that once you have made the investment in the book, you really need to think about the variety of ways that are now available to you to make that book accessible. And, you know, in the past, it would mean joining book club, you know, having the book in a book club listing, perhaps getting into bookstores with certain distributors and so forth. And online is just a new channel. Chris, your experience in university presses goes back a little ways, and you've seen everyone kind of sweat bullets over what's going to happen in this new world. How is it looking now then for publishers? Is things sort of settling into, a more developed, clearer picture of how they can use online opportunities?
Yeah, it sure is. I left Harvard University Press in 2000, but when I had started in publishing 15 years earlier, an average monograph sale in the humanities was about 1,500 to 2,000 copies, and when I left, it was about 300 to 400 copies. So what happened there is you know, institutional libraries cut budgets, bought fewer books, individuals bought fewer books, and at the same time, there were fewer independent bookstores around, even to buy the mid-list, right? So what the web does is open up a whole new long, what we call a long-tail channel, mm-hmm. right? So we're actually exposing books to many, many more users than could possibly access those books or find them in the traditional, you know, bookstore institutional channels. And so, therefore, books are from smaller presses and university presses are actually staying in print a lot longer.
Here's a question that seems to be worth asking you to clarify, and it regards the agreements that publishers have to make with Google. You know, what kind of an agreement is it, and is there a requirement for a minimum number of books or anything like that that have to be submitted for you to participate? So, for example, if I'm a self-published author and I've only published one or two books, can I wind up in Google Book Search?
You sure can. You would go to books.google.com, and you would. There's a link to for publishers and for authors, and that will walk you through the program. And there'd be a place to click through to our online agreement. We refer to this agreement not as a licensing agreement, because in fact we're not reselling content or using it for any other purpose than promotional use. So we refer to it as a content hosting services agreement, and really the core of the of what the publisher is committing to is that in fact they have the rights to submit this book to Google Book Search and allow it to be surfaced under their imprint. That's the core of it. There's some other, you know, details to the agreement, but that's the most important thing for us.
Which sounds fairly simple as these kinds of things go. Operator, I wonder if you could just check something. We have an email here that says that star 1 to raise your hand is not working, and that may explain some of the silence here. So if you could just check that for us, Corey?
Sure, and actually it is working. We have some questions in queue.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Well, again, let's just remind people that we're with Chris Palmer from Google Book Search. My name is Chris Keneally with Beyond the Book at Copyright Clearance Center for about the next 10 to 15 minutes or so. We'll have a chance to ask questions and learn a little bit more about how Google Book Search works. So if you do have a question, it's star 1 on your phone. You can email me at beyondthebook@copyright.com. And why don't we take one or two of those questions, operator?
Sure. Our first question does come from Tim McNeil. You may ask your question.
Hi, Tim. Welcome to Beyond the Book with Chris Palmer.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. What's your question?
Well, I actually emailed it because it didn't seem the Star 1 was working. I got no response.
So I see it here.
No.
Sure.
No.
Well, then ask away. You've got your chance.
I was just curious if Google is going to be helping publishers enter the e-book selling market. Providing fulfillment, you know, electronic fulfillment of our books as ebooks, and also then therefore providing a cash register for them. I could tell you that Wisdom's been very active from the beginning with Google Book Search. We were featured in one of their little videos that they played at BEA, and we've been very pleased with it.
And just tell us a bit about the kind of books that Wisdom does.
We're a nonprofit publisher that has about 250 books in print, and we specialize in Buddhism, Buddhist philosophy, texts and translation, etc.
So, Chris, what about that? What role, if any, does Google Book Search play in e-books?
I'll say, first of all, that Wisdom has been, you know, a wonderful small publishing partner for Google. And in fact, if you go and look at the case studies on the site, you'll see that Wisdom has provided a really nice case study and an interesting one given the nature of the publishing program. It's a good question. We have gone somewhat down the path of creating an environment whereby we could, in essence, do a timed access transaction right through the Google Book Search preview mode. Our biggest difficulties have not been technical ones, right? So, you know, Google has a shopping cart. You know, doing the transaction on behalf of the publisher would be relatively easy. We obviously have done the hard part by scanning the books and having the books available. The hard part has really been we don't have a critical mass of publishers out there who have done the necessary rights work in their contract. contracts and their author contracts to be able to actually offer that service. And so Google is always very sensitive to the user experience. We would not want to have a user landing on books and sometimes being able to buy online access and other times not being able to buy. So we're looking for a critical mass on the publishing side before we could actually launch that program.
Yeah, if you guys do see potential there, it would be helpful to even put out like templates that, you know, because some of us smaller publishers don't have a legion of lawyers to call upon.
You mean contract templates?
Like contract templates or the kind of thing that they would like to see to feel comfortable and would also help publishers in dealing with authors. So.
Well, that's a good suggestion. And while you're there, Tim and Lars, are you still there?
Mm-hmm. I am.
We have a question from somebody here which maybe you can both address, and that is about earning other revenue. Lars, you briefly alluded to it. So while it's free to get the books into the program, you actually get money from Google through their ad programs. How is all of that working for you, and what's its relationship to the book search program?
It's just nice. I mean, for us, once again, I'm more concerned with driving sales, but, you know, I think you always say, you know, point out that, hey, you know, even if it's a small amount of money, it's, you know, a net positive. It doesn't, certainly not costing us any.
So when the content from the book is surfaced, a related ad will appear alongside of that, and you see the stream of that just like anybody would. That's the ad sense program, Chris.
Correct, and I should point out, and Lars alluded to it. It's a very small amount of money today, mainly because ads are against book content. Those ads don't monetize nearly as well as the ads that you would see, for instance, on Google.com or on other websites through which we host ads. Because people looking at books generally want to find a book.
They want to buy the book rather than
they want to buy a
hotel room or something.
But we certainly did not want to cut out our publishing partners from a potential revenue stream or a learning experience for both ourselves and for them to see how ads might monetize against different types of books.
Right.
And it's more a learning experience than the actual dollar amount.
Right. Operator, do we have any more questions?
Could I have a follow-on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Please.
This is sort of very much related to the e-book selling thing.
This is Tim.
Yes, Tim McNeil from Wisdom.
Right.
Providing libraries electronic access to entire texts for a cost in the way that, I guess, what's the company, e-book, apparently does. That's something Google is...
There's a number of companies out there like NetLibrary and eBrary, a company that I work for, that aggregate content for the institutional space. And that certainly has been part of our conversations as well. We have a pretty robust publishing board, and we're constantly bouncing ideas off of us to say, hey, Google, now that you've indexed all this content and you're pointing all this traffic, can you help us monetize our books? And we are continuing to try to find ways to help publishers do that because we're cognizant of the fact if we can help you make more money, you're obviously going to continue to stay in the program and continue to feed new front list into the program on an ongoing basis. So all of that has gone into the discussion process, although we're not nearly there yet.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Operator Corey, do we have anyone else then from the audience with a question?
Yes, Catherine Volkava, you may ask your question.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And actually, my question was answered by email. I'm glad I got through with the Star 1, and my question was about the additional revenue potential.
Okay. Does that sound like we've answered it for you completely? Do you have any other questions about your work?
I guess another question is I'm an independent publisher, a small publisher, and I would echo what one of the other folks said, is that for us small people, that the things that you could post that would be helpful for us to use your services more and legal agreements and that type of thing, because it's a huge market out there. There are so many of us out there writing and generating, I think, really good content, but we could benefit from that. So I don't know what other plans Google has or the small publisher.
Well, Chris, I noticed when on the registration page for the program that there's a box to check for an ongoing newsletter for the program.
That's right. We send out, at least quarterly, we send out a newsletter that updates people on the program itself and various changes to the program. And before you even sign on, there's quite a bit of Q&A, frequently asked questions, and other help pages related to the program, how to get into the program, how to think about the program. As far as the earlier statement about the boilerplate or the templates for, I'm not sure we want to get into the legal side, although your various publishing associations would certainly be a help there to determine, you know, how to craft those stipulations in your contracts. But I want to point out that for most publishers, the amount of content that we're showing here and not monetizing is purely promotional use, and so you generally do not have to go back to an author and gain specific rights, although many publishers, as a courtesy, do let their authors know that they're in the program. And the final thing I'll say is I wanted to point out this is a permissions-based program, and if an author were to come to you and say, for whatever reason, we don't want to be in the program, we don't even need to have a reason. You can pull a title at any time for any reason right out of the program.
Right. And Lars, you mentioned that at least one author in your list did do just that.
Exactly one.
Right. Operator Corey, do we have any other questions from our audience?
Yes, Cheryl Raisin, you may ask your question.
My question is for Chris Palmer. Does Google digitize or scan an entire printed work? And if so, do you send that digitized content back to the publisher?
Very good question. We, in fact, need to digitize the entire work because the user is going to determine by their search query where in the book they're going to land. In other words, their search query could point them to something, you know, in the 12th chapter of your book. It's not necessarily a query that's in the metadata. It's not necessarily in the introduction. So we need to index the entire book. And no, unfortunately, we do not, for a variety of reasons, turn the digital content back to the publisher. For one reason, don't think of it as a PDF that's sitting there on our servers. Think of it as a distributed process like web pages. They exist all over the world because we need to serve up those pages to, you know, a billion plus users around the world. So there's not even a single thing that we could give you if we wanted to.
It's a good question, then, and appreciate that. Thank you. Operator, do we have any other questions?
Yes, Jim McLaughlin, you may ask your question.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, thanks.
Jen, I'm sorry.
Jen, that's all right. My question is for
Jen, can you just tell us briefly, if you don't have to say the name of the company if you'd rather not, but can you tell us what kind of a publisher or author you may be?
Small nonprofit publisher as well.
Great. What's your question?
I'm interested in two things. First of all, is Google Books limited to books, or do you also make available content from magazines or newspapers?
Today, there's a completely separate program called Google News that does, in fact, digitize news content, the majority of which is online today, but increasingly it's offline. So we're starting to do partnerships with newspapers all over the country to actually digitize the archives of those newspapers as well. Book search today is limited to ISBN content.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. We have just about a couple more minutes left in the program. It's been a pleasure talking with Chris Palmer, and we appreciate the participation of Lars Riley from Seven Stories, and as well all of you on the line with us. And if we have one more question, operator, from the audience, we can take that.
Yes, Candace Mosley, you may ask your question.
Welcome, Candace. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Can you tell us briefly what kind of a publisher or author you may be?
I am actually an intern at a nonprofit.
Okay, a nonprofit scholarly press. Well, what's your question, please?
My question was actually answered. I was wondering about how I believe it was Lars who mentioned that Google will actually give them some money.
Right, that's the AdSense program that
exactly.
They participate in.
But that was already explained, so I'm good, thank you.
Okay, good. Well, we hope you enjoyed the program.
I do have one other question,
and maybe
though.
Corey for one more call.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you have another question?
Yes, I did. Just really
I'm sorry. apologize.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
No problem. I was just wondering, you were mentioning earlier that we can control the territorial right as far as where the books are being displayed, like restricting it to North American users only.
Correct.
Is that tracked at all if you made it available to anyone, like where our books are being, are more popular, kind of?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So today, in part of the reporting package is not territorial traffic.
Okay.
But that's not to say that that won't be built in. It's pretty rich data today. In fact, some of it we push out on a weekly basis, so you get a dashboard pushed out to you by email on a weekly basis, and then there are custom reports that you can literally import. So far, we do not track this by geographic region, but we will eventually.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your question. And again, on behalf of everyone at Copyright Clearance Center, I want to thank Chris Palmer from Google, for joining us today. He's the Strategic Partner Development Manager for Google Book Search. Thank you again, Chris.
My pleasure.
Lars, looks like you managed to beat out of that meeting and stay with us for the call. We really do appreciate you helping share with us your experience at Seven Stories. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I thank you for helping me miss that meeting as well.
Well, anytime we can do that for you, we'd be happy to have you on board. And to everyone on the call with us, my name again is Chris Keneally, Director of Author Relations. I want to tell you that you can hear this program again in our podcast series. It will be posted shortly. Keep an eye out for that. Subscribe to our podcast series. All of that information you can get at beyondthebook.com. There's a subscribe button, plenty of information. We will make available not only the contents of this call that you can listen to on your iPod, but you don't need to have an iPod. You can listen just right there at your computer. We'll have a transcript and some other information about Google Book Search. You can get a link to more on the Google Book Search program at our Marketplace page, where you'll find a whole listing of information on services that would be of use to publishers and authors, from transcripts to podcasting to Google Book Search itself. So go check out beyondthebook.com, our Marketplace page, and all the other resources we have there on the business of writing and publishing. And again, Chris Keneally here, thanking you all for joining us. Have a very good day, and we look forward to having you back with another program for BeyondTheBook.com. Take care.
Beyond the Book is an educational presentation of the not-for-profit Copyright Clearance Center, with conferences and seminars featuring leading authors and editors, publishing analysts, and information technology specialists. Beyond the Book is the premier source for knowledge on the latest business issues facing today's dynamic publishing industry, from initial research to final publication and beyond.